WLFP Braddock.
Good morning, diners and travelers of the world. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. It's that music again. It must be time to do a show.
Yes, listeners, you're on to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and we have our first guest.
Already on the line.
Already on the line.
Bright and early on this Sunday morning, we have
Lizzie. Morrill.
Okay.
Liz Morrill is her name, and her company is Fizzy Lizzie. Do you want to say that, or you like that sound?
Yeah, Fizzy Lizzie. Where did this idea come from, Liz?
Hi, good morning, and thank you so much for having me. Well, Fizzy Lizzie is a blend of fruit juice and sparkling water.
We love it, by the way.
Thank you. And what makes us different is that we have no added sugar or corn syrup and an average around 65% juice. And I started Fizzy Lizzie because I always add seltzer to my juice and could never find a product like that in stores. And basically one day I was going for a bike ride and I bought a big heavy container of grapefruit juice and a liter of seltzer, and I had to drink half the grapefruit juice before there was room to add the seltzer, and that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back.
So you're an athlete of sorts, are you?
A very weekend athlete, yeah.
I see.
Yeah, funnily enough, Lizzie, I do the same thing. Within about the last year or so, I've been adding sparkling water to orange juice. I don't know why. I guess it makes it more thirst-quenching.
It definitely makes it more thirst-quenching. It also has the added benefit of reducing the calories and the sugars, and it just makes it much more refreshing and less sweet.
Now we met some people from the Fizzy Lizzie company, and I have to say you also have personality fizz as well. Is that a natural thing, or do you just put that on for the trade shows?
Well, that, I guess, is natural. I mean, I do have a tangerine Fizzy Lizzie every morning, so in which there is, you know, some natural sugar, so it could also be, you know, a little bit of a sugar rush going. But in all, you know, honesty, it's just my personality, which is hopefully fizzy as well.
Yeah, well, it absolutely is. That's exactly why I mentioned it. And listeners, you can feel like you're getting a little bit of the personality out of every little swallow of Fizzy Lizzie. And the flavors are fascinating. Go through some of them for us, if you would, Liz.
Sure. We have 8 flavors. Ranging rather from Red Hill Pomegranate to Lone Star Grapefruit, Gulf Coast Tangerine, my personal favorite, which is Costa Rican Pineapple, which is actually nominated for Outstanding Cold Beverage at the Fancy Food Show. We have 4 other flavors as well, all of which are viewable on our website, fizzylizzie.com.
fizzylizzie.com. Listeners, take note.
And it's F-I-Z-Z-Y-L-I-Z-Z-Y. Don't try to stick any I-E's in there, otherwise it won't work.
Exactly. Now, you have been recognized by the fancy food shows and other awards, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been really blessed to receive some really wonderful critical acclaim. In addition to having been nominated for Outstanding Cold Beverage for our pineapple, our entire product line was actually nominated for Outstanding Product Line at the show this year.
And that's a tough category.
Yeah, it is.
That means you're consistently good in everything you do across the board.
You know, as they say at the Oscars, it was just an honor to be nominated. We did not win, but it was an honor to be nominated.
Well, France Chocolate, I think, won, right?
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah.
But we were, I believe, the only beverage of our kind to be nominated, so we're really thrilled.
And there sure are lots of beverages on the market these days.
They do indeed. It keeps me up at night sometimes. But
yeah, I mean, it's gotten so competitive. I mean, how do you deal with that?
You know, it's actually incredibly competitive, so much more so than I realized at first. I think, you know, the challenge for us is to, you know, educate consumers as to what distinguishes Fizzy Lizzie from some of the other sparkling juices or adult sodas, as they're becoming known in the category. Essentially, what distinguishes us, aside from our very high percentage of juice, is the fact that we use more of the characterizing juice in each flavor, and less filler juice. So in other words, if you take a look at our grapefruit, it's predominantly grapefruit juice and not other filler juices, which makes our product much more natural and juicy in flavor and tastes less like a soda. But it's very, very tough because, you know, consumers, you know, make decisions in the blink of an eye, and, you know, we can't afford a huge ad campaign. So, you know, you know, it's through the help of people like you, and, of course, you also do lots of in-store demos and community sampling events and, you know, word of mouth.
Now, how can people buy through distribution? I mean, are you in Whole Foods stores and places like that?
We're in Wegmans in your area. We are in many Whole Foods across the country, especially on the West Coast and the Northeast, although we're also getting into Whole Foods in the Rocky Mountains. We're in lots of independent gourmet food stores, and our entire store list is also available on our website, fizzylizzy.com.
Oh, great. So if you want to know where to find some in your neighborhood, you just log on and put in your zip code or something like that?
Exactly. You download our store locator, which is sorted by zip code.
Perfect.
Worst comes to worst, please feel free to send me an email through our website, and we try to get back to everybody within 24 hours.
You know, there are a couple other things. I think that this is very clever. The whole labeling thing, of course, is a shelf appeal. But what does provoke this gently shake my hips before placing bottle to your lips, which is on the bottle?
Well, we needed to, you know, tell customers that they need to shake the bottle gently before opening, and that's to stir up all the pulp that winds up settling to the bottom. We just thought that it was a fun way to communicate that, basically. No, nothing more than that, just simple. We're just having fun.
Yeah, but the really important thing is you have to redistribute the juice through the, otherwise
yes,
it doesn't
and
taste
that,
right.
Which is another way that people can tell how natural the product is, you know, is there any pulp in it? And because, you know, if so, that means that it's real. It might not look so great in the bottle, unfortunately, but it really actually connotes that the product is high quality.
Now, how did you learn to make, how did you learn to get into this business? Was it something you were doing before?
I was, and I was incredibly naive. I thought that I could simply go to the market and buy, you know, the juice and the seltzer and pour it into empty bottles and put the cap on and sell it in stores. And I was shortly disabused of that notion when I consulted, you know, a professional food scientist, because the product has to be pasteurized since it's got all that real fruit juice in it. So basically, with the help of a food scientist and bottlers who also knew, you know, what the processing requirements were, they guided me through the steps.
Yeah, and it says here, I mean, you've covered all bases here. For example, does Fizzy Lizzy come in plastic bottles? No, and it's not likely to.
Well, I think it will eventually, but the reason it doesn't come in plastic is that there doesn't exist a plastic bottle that is tough enough or strong enough to withstand the heat of the pasteurization process while having a carbonated liquid inside.
It would explode, wouldn't it?
Exactly. I mean, we could put Fizzy Lizzy in plastic if we were willing to add preservatives, but, you know, it's really not something that most of our customers want us to do.
Yeah, see, I mean, this is it. I mean, you, as I said, you touched all bases, people's concerns with health, their concern with high flavor, health concerns, what's the buzzwords of all the of what all natural, all everything everybody's looking for now.
We certainly try, you know, and I love getting hearing from people who try Fizzy Lizzy. You know, a lot of people send us emails, and that makes my day. I mean, any constructive criticism, you know, negative as well as positive, we really appreciate. I mean, hopefully it'll be mostly positive, but, you know, it's all about, you know, it's all about, you know, selling a product that appeals to others as well.
Well, the great thing about it, listeners, you can take this from Ann and Peter, who fight over the Fizzy Lizzy when we have some. it tastes good.
You win.
It tastes good, and it's very refreshing, and we commend it to you as a fascinating product line, and that's not just because Fizzy Liz is in charge. It really is good.
Well, thank you both so much. I really appreciate your time, and, you know, again, if any listeners have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact me at fizzylizzy.com.
Well, Liz, you go, girl. You're doing just swell.
Thank you so much, Peter and Ann. Great talking to you.
Have a great day.
Yeah, hope to see you again soon.
I do, too. Thanks
a
lot.
Bye-bye.
She really is a fizzy lady.
She's wonderful. Yeah, I had
a piece of fascinating news I've been trying to get. Let me just get it in before the timeout. I just read the other day, for lack of a better reason than I thought it was fascinating, that Taco Bell is just opening its first restaurant in Mexico.
Oh, that's very funny.
I told you about that. I said I'd announce it on the air. I can't remember where it is, but folks, I'm sure you don't care.
Yeah.
And now we'll take a timeout ourselves.
The Internet is crucial to your business. Everybody knows this, but did you know Nidhogg is the company you should call for Internet service? Nidhogg, personal web page hosting for less. Business web page hosting, Nidhogg offers both Unix and NT server support. Nidhogg is the company you should call for dedicated Internet access. Nidhogg offers DSL for high speed, low cost, always on access. DSL is great. It means no more dial-up. Oh, by the way, do you remember that thing called the telephone? Do you remember when people used phone lines to access the internet? Oh, I'm sorry, you still use dial-up? Well, Nidhogg does that too. Local access telephone numbers? Okay, I don't understand it all either, but I do know that I need it, and I know where to get it. Nidhogg, Nidhogg.com, 412-661-5917. That's 661-5917, or log on, Nidhogg.com. Internet the Nidhogg way.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Menu Radio with Ann and Peter Haig. We seem to be having a beverage.
We do, but you forgot. At the beginning of this segment, you always say...
And don't forget to tune in to our website, onthemenuradio.com.
To find out everything we've been up to.
Right.
Because we get up to all kinds of things.
Ha. But anyhow, I mean, it's appropriate that we're doing beverages because it's probably the... I think it is the fastest growing segment of specialty food.
And we did fizzy beverages in the last segment.
And now we're going to do this wonderful tea. And our guest is actually Rona Toussaint, which is not really from tea. It's from her husband, who's French. Hi, Rona.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
Fine. And your company is Ito N?
Yes. And that's Ito N.
And
we are based... Yes, go ahead.
And you're in New York. No.
Well, yes. We have our offices in New York. We have a flagship store in New York City. But our company has been in business over 40 years, and we were based in Japan. So we are an authentic Japanese green tea company, and we decided to come to the United States and introduce our line of teas, and we came to New York in 2001.
Aha. Uh-huh. So that's why it's fairly new to me. I wasn't aware of it.
Now, when you say we, you didn't come here from Japan, though. You were already here.
No.
Well, no, oh, I was actually here, but ironically, I'm half Japanese. I my mother's Japanese, and of course, green tea was a very big part of our culture. So I was actually quite excited to join Ito N and introduce our first store here and sort of bring the awareness and these sort of the extensive selection of teas available here in this country through Etowin.
Do you want to describe your product?
Well, we have a line of loose leaf teas, and we also have bottle teas. And one of our, I'd have to say, our biggest pride is the fact that we were sort of the innovators of a bottled green tea. And it was said prior to 1985 that it was impossible to bottle green tea because green tea is actually an unfermented tea, and so it oxidized quickly. But Etowin, we developed sort of a bottling method that really captures the integrity of the flavor. It is called the Natural Clear method, and we have a patent on it, and it really does keep the authentic, fresh-brewed taste of the green tea.
And I will vouch for that, Em.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I would vouch for that. I mean, you can taste the green tea, and there's nothing much been done to it. It's your own process.
No, it's completely an unadulterated tea. It is just purely a purified water, premium loose leaf tea. And what's great is it also has a natural vitamin C. So you're sort of getting your three-in-one. You're getting your water for hydration, you're getting your green tea antioxidants, and you're also getting the benefit of vitamin C as well. So our line, Tea's Tea, we have about 8 flavors, and I think, and you, Peter, you had stated you tasted a few of our flavors, but we've got an array. We've got our pure green tea, we have a green jasmine flavor, we have a green white tea, which is a blend of the green tea and the Chinese rare white tea. We also have a lemongrass green tea. We also have a rose green tea, which is with brewed with the natural rose petals.
Yeah,
we just recently introduced a mint green tea. We're quite excited about that.
And you know, that I tried.
A wonderful reception.
Yeah, I've tried that one.
Did you try the mint green?
I did, and it's yeah. Excellent, yes. Very refreshing.
Well, you know, I mean, our bottle teas are quite a nice alternative to water. I mean, we all need water, but I guess that gets a little boring at times. And so it has that other dimension of a wonderful subtle flavor of our teas, and each one, of course, has just a variation, and so you really can enjoy them on different occasions. You can throw them in your gym bag. You can take them in the car. You know, they come in recycled plastic bottles, so they're quite convenient.
Yeah, what about that? I didn't understand. There was something on the bottle having to do with, did it have a nickel, it was 5 cents deposit or something? Was that on that bottle?
Yeah, well, that's for the redemption, which is a part of, I think, the sort of by law for recycling. But that's for the bottle redemption.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's nice, really, is the fact that I think, you know, our chairman in Japan had realized many years ago that, you know, the young Japanese people really were not taking the time to brew tea because they had a very busy, active life. So he thought that developing something that was really mobile would be, you know, quite convenient. So today, you know, I know in Japan, I mean, they're available. They drink that more than bottled water.
Yeah, see, I feel healthy drinking it.
Well, thank you. And we also, you know, what's interesting enough, we came out with our 2-liter size because of the popular demand with our pure green flavor and our green jasmine and our green white. So we've come out with the larger bottle size, and they actually make wonderful, wonderful gifts to take for housewarmings. Or, you know, it's always nice to take a bottle of wine, but it's nice to bring an alternative.
Well, that's cute.
You know, particularly, yeah, for barbecues to housewarmings. And they really enjoy that, you know, other alternative. And I know many times people are concerned about driving home as well. So, you know, I know I put my tea's tea in a little wine glass, and it sort of passes as wine, but you're enjoying, you know, the complexities. And tea really has so many different taste profiles and you know, variations. And again, I compare it quite often to sort of the world of tea, of wine. You know, there's so many different varieties, and that's one of the reasons why at our store in New York, we really enjoy...
Oh, tell us about the award. Tell us the award.
Pardon me?
Tell us about your shop and your Zagat Award.
Oh, well, we have a store which is on Madison Avenue at 69th Street, and we're quite pleased to say that since we've opened this year for 2008, we got the best tea store and best overall in terms of our quality and our variation of different tea selections at our store. So we got the Zagat's rating, and I think it sort of is a reflection in terms of the customer service and the education that we provide and the variation. We have about 100 different types of different loose leaf teas available, and you can purchase them by the ounce. So you really can sample different teas, and, you know, we have our tea specialists on hand to kind of guide you. I mean, some people prefer tea that's a little bit more robust and some, you know, lighter. So we are there to kind of introduce. I think, you know, many years ago when we looked at the wine industry, I think we always thought of just a simple red wine and a white wine. And, you know, people are so much more educated now, and they really know their wines. You know, they're more specific in terms of the Zinfandels that they like, or the Cabernets and the Gamay Beaujolais. And we as well feel that with teas, there are so many different types of teas available that come from different prefectures, particularly, let's say, green teas. They come from different prefectures in Japan. So we are quite excited. We're enjoying the growing interest and sort of the customer following, you know, since we have been at Madison, and we do invite people to come and sample. We also have a Japanese restaurant upstairs.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Kaiseki cuisine.
What does it have? Kaiseki? Oh, how nice.
It's Kaiseki cuisine, and Kaiseki cuisine was traditionally the Japanese meal
for the tea ceremony. For the tea ceremony.
Exactly. So we have a wonderful chef, Yamazaki, from Japan, and he does exquisite presentations and obviously very authentic Japanese cuisine, and served with our tea as well.
Well, we're going to make a note of that, because I think I'd like to do that.
Make a note of it, then.
Well, we'll have to see that you come and sample some of the cuisine there.
That would be great. Okay. A regular, you'd go through the whole Kaiseki service?
Well, he does, you know, it's a little bit more of a modern Kaiseki, but the presentation and the ingredients that he uses obviously are most traditional, and I think you will be quite pleased. We had a very nice Zagat rating in terms of our food quality as well. So we'll have to see that you and Peter come and experience.
Right.
Oh, that'll be great. Now we don't have to sit on our feet or anything like that, do we?
No. We actually have. You'll feel a little bit in it, Japanese inspired, but you don't have to sit on the tatami mats.
Great. Now you know that, of course, that on the menu as listeners, not only all the way across the United States, but also around the world. So, first of all, in the United States, and then in other countries of the world, where can people find your product? Where can they find out if they can get it?
Well, what's quite wonderful, of course, is we've got our website, which is itoen.com, and that's itoen.com. So you can order the teas. We ship our bottle teas as well, and of course you can select from our different tea leaves. So that you don't need to be in New York. You can order online, and that's quite convenient. In terms of our bottle teas, our teas tea line, as well as we have another line called the Centra Shot, and that's a small 6.4 fluid ounce can, and it's Centra means green tea in Japanese, and it actually has five times the amount of antioxidants than the traditional bottled tea. But all those beverages are also available at Whole Foods throughout the country, at Safeway, Wild Oats, and also at select Targets as well. So we're really getting our distribution out, and that's part of our focus, is really being able to have our bottled teas readily available throughout the country, and hopefully overseas as well.
Now, what about other countries? Are you in Australia, for example?
Well, you know, we don't have our distribution just yet in Australia. We do actually have tea plantations. We are growing tea in Australia.
Oh, my goodness.
As you know, yes, and that's fairly recent.
Where?
In Japan, as you know, I mean, pardon me?
What part of Australia do you grow tea in? I've never known that.
No, I don't either.
Well, You know, it's interesting. I mean, I think that our offices, I believe, are out in Sydney, but we have quite a bit of plantations, and as you know, in Japan, we were quite limited in land. So we had our first pick, and it was well received, and we're hoping that we can continue expanding the goat, because you know, with green tea, the demand today is growing.
Huge.
So we had the great opportunity and saw that the climate was quite similar, and so we've had great success over in Australia. But in terms of our beverages, we just actually, in London, I know they opened up a Whole Foods, so they'll be carrying our bottled teas there as well. We've actually had quite a bit of demand throughout. It's interesting since, you know, we've started to become international. The demand in Europe, I've had calls even for Panama. I mean, throughout the country, there's just a growing interest in bringing our products to their countries. And I think right now our first step is focusing here in the United States, but we certainly have plans in expanding, you know, overseas into Europe as well.
Great. Well, can you directly send us some information about that? I think we've been dealing through a third party, but if you could send us an email with your direct contact information, that would be terrific.
Oh, I'd be very happy to do that.
We're thinking because we'll be in Australia. We're thinking that would be a nice change of pace to see a tea plantation.
And we're also going to be in New York coming up.
And we're going to be in New York.
I'm sure we'll be in New York soon.
Well, listen, we're going to have to...
Well, you'll certainly have to be our guest and experience the whole Etoan experience.
Yes.
I don't know if you were aware, but we also just came out with a tea line with Dr. Andrew Weil.
I was going to get into that, Rona, except that I'm getting signals now that the time is up, and we're going to have to take a commercial break. So I wanted to just make sure that we stay in touch, and I thank you for the interview time with us, and for just keep up the good work with such a wonderful product.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure, and thank you for inviting Etoan on, and we hope to see you in our store in New York.
Well, here's how to get in touch with us, just like all listeners can. It's on the menu at onthemenuradio.com.
Thank you very much.
Well, Rona, thank you. And I think now we have to say goodbye, and it's time to take a break.
Well, thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Great. Bye. Thank you. Take a break.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The flagship station of the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. This is 1550 WLFP, Pittsburgh.
Data security and speed can be what puts your business ahead of your competition. But cost is important too. You might be paying every month for bandwidth you don't use. Let's talk about your company's disaster recovery system. Is it as effective and secure as it could be? What are you paying for your T1 line? I'll bet we can offer you a better deal. We're ASP Station, a premier independent server co-location facility and high-speed internet access provider. Virtually unlimited bandwidth, co-location for your backup servers, off-site system backup, and secure access to your equipment 24/7. Check us out on the web at aspstation.net or call us at 412-661-6001. Easy number to remember, 412-661-6001. ASP Station, 412-661-6001. 6001.
You're welcome to again on the menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and we're leaving the sea of beverages, but we're actually not straying that far from the water since we're talking to Eddie Gordon about wild American shrimp. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, how are you all?
Okay, now you are the director of the group, the trade organization?
Actually, it's a marketing group.
It's a marketing group.
Wild American Shrimp, kind of like the certified Angus beef guy.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, I'd call that a trade thing, maybe not. Yeah.
And tell us why that's important.
It's important. The trade group does one thing, taking care of a lot of the legalistic sides of things, while the marketing side, we're more about trying to get the information out to the consumers about why we think they should eat wild American shrimp.
Okay, why should Americans eat wild American shrimp?
Well, for one thing, it's the shrimp they grew up eating. Until very recently, last few years, decade really, here, they have all eaten pretty much wild shrimp from the United States, our ocean-caught waters. But more recently, since about 2000, a little bit earlier, a huge import of farm-raised shrimp, primarily from Asia, has taken over about 80-90% of the market.
Wow.
Well, that's a lot.
That's a big loss. I mean, did people see that coming? Or
no,
what happened?
I think it just really happened kind of like construction can. Everybody starts building on each corner and not realizing the other guys what they're doing. And so we've had a huge influx of farm-raised, pond-raised shrimp from
Asia.
But
is it cheaper? Is it cheaper? Is that why it's coming?
Yeah, it is. And that some of the trade action side is that the product is even being sold below cost and heavily subsidized by China and Vietnam, for example. And so most of the shrimp are coming from a lot of the communist countries like Vietnam and China, Bangladesh, in India, and so kind of our poor third world countries.
Yeah, and you don't know what you're getting. I mean, clearly all these recalls of children's toys and pet food shows you the dangers in that. You don't know what you're getting.
Well, it really is. I'd rather talk about the positive things.
Yeah, let's do that.
People need to know that, you know, they've seen all the stuff on China, I think, on TV and on Lou Dobbs' show and on the food channels and everything else. But it's the use of antibiotics in a lot of the aquaculture shrimp is well noted in Europe and even here now.
Yeah. Now, so, there is one, though. Now, that Ocean Boy shrimp,
mm-hmm.
they don't use antibiotics. That's here. That's American.
That's a farm-raised product from Florida, and I'm not real familiar with that company.
Yeah, we interviewed them, and they have fairly stringent rules. But, I mean, that said, the natural, the wild, is better in all the fish species that I've encountered. So it tastes wonderful, your shrimp.
It really is. Interestingly enough, while we talk about taste being subjective and from person to person, Texas A&M just came out with a very recent study back here in the summer where they actually have isolated the chemicals, the bromophenols.
Woohoo!
That, that
one
word,
again.
I had to barely spell it right here.
Yeah, you did that well.
But they actually found those in the wild shrimp that are derived and from what the shrimp eats. And while the farm-raised guys have tried to duplicate it, they have not been successful chemically or taste-wise here. And that's what eats the kelp. It's living in the salt water. All these reasons actually chemically change the shrimp and the muscle tissue. So it goes back to the old saying, it's what you eat, it's what you are.
Yeah, I must say that one of the things I noticed about your shrimp, and you'll explain the three different types, is the firmness of the texture was amazing.
It is. I guess when you're swimming for your own life, you build up a lot of muscle tissue when you're trying to escape.
we had the opportunity to feast on wild American shrimp cooked by Chef Bob Wagoner when we were in Charleston back at the beginning of March. And you explained then there were three different kinds, but our listeners weren't there, so why don't you begin as if they don't know anything?
Yeah. Primarily in our country, we represent the southern warm water shrimp, and which is the Texas brown shrimp are great from Texas and kind of the western Gulf. Then we come on around and we get a lot of the white shrimp that are down in the Louisiana, Mississippi area, and also heavily populated on the east coast. And then around Texas, from around Tampa south down to the Key West area, we have
Florida,
Florida,
right,
and Florida, and interestingly enough, the white shrimp are a very mild and more estuary type of animal, and have a very mild flavor, whereas the brown shrimp, especially the ones that have moved offshore and are feeding off of kelp and other wild products, and living in much deeper water are much darker brown and have a very bold, robust flavor. And some people, it'll kind of shock them when they first bite into them, but I always say it's like a drink of scotch. The first time you kind of, what is that? But it grows on you.
Yeah.
And really is a superior flavor, as in scotch. It is also, I think, in their shrimp, in the brown shrimp.
Now, why is it I had this idea that we had overfished our shrimp supply, and I was surprised then at the Charleston event that you were promoting our own natural wild shrimp?
I think that's some kind of the misinformation that some of our eco-friends like to take a broad brush. It's hard to be specific about a lot of the different fisheries. And so, but in our country last year, we actually had the third largest harvest ever recorded in shrimp down in the Gulf area. In spite of Katrina, in spite of all the boats being out of the water, shrimp are very bountiful. They're very sustainable in our country here, and they're protected. We have seasons that are set by the states. We have great monitoring of the water temperatures and the stock levels, and all that, I think, good management practice have helped, and we have bycatch excluders, and we have nets that let out the small shrimp. So a lot of years of good management, I think, contributed to that effort.
Yeah, when we were in New Orleans back in February, one of the chefs down there was telling us that the waters of the Gulf of Mexico have never been cleaner, and so there might be a, you know, there's a tragic downside, obviously, of Katrina and all the effect that it had on human life and on the city of New Orleans and Mobile and so on. But as a way of purifying the water system we call the Gulf of Mexico, apparently it was just an amazingly good thing.
It really is. It's kind of like the farmers plow up the earth. Somehow these great storms were unbelievable. And we see this historically over time. I went through Hugo in McClellanville, South Carolina.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Afterwards, you know, we just had the same thing. We had more shrimp, more fish, more crabs than we knew what to do with. And so it's something about nature and how it just stirs up the nutrients and the fish and everything. And it does. It really purifies and cleans. And I think that's one thing we have to realize. Our waters here are probably cleaner than they've been in 50 years. EPA has really cracked down on the dumping of illegal chemicals from plants and site dumping. So our waters, compared to the rest of the third world countries, are very, very clean. And to my knowledge, we've really never had any samples of shrimp that were contaminated. Our shrimp naturally sheds its shell constantly as it grows, and the chitosan that's in that shell typically attract anything, any heavy metals, etc., but would be released every few weeks as the shrimp grows, so keeping it nice and pure.
Now, how do listeners make sure they're getting wild American shrimp? Let's get down to the fundamental retail level buyer.
Well, it's certified, but you have to.
Yeah, but I mean, how can people recognize that?
Yeah, one of the things we came up with was 94% of the people that were polled said they wanted to eat ocean-caught domestic shrimp. The problem we had was 95% of the people thought they were eating ocean-caught domestic shrimp, but we knew that 85 to 90% of the shrimp out there was imported pond-raised. So we recognized people weren't actually getting what they wanted, so we really came up with a certification program with our seal, which is a certified Wild American Shrimp Seal. We were actually given a certification approval by the federal government for that seal, just like the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval or the Underwriter Laboratory Seal. So when we see that, even though the product name may be different, they'll look for that seal at the counter, at the seafood counter or on the packaging. That will guarantee them that it's wild, it's American, and it has met stringent standards that our industry has placed on those shrimp. They've been inspected and recorded documentation with that lot.
So how about your website?
Yeah, it's wildamericanshrimp.com, and I hope that'll help people really learn a lot, not only about the shrimp, but our fishermen, their ways of life. It's really a lot more than just eating and tasting shrimp. And so they can get a lot of education there about shrimp, about our fishermen, about turtles, and it'll give them links to other state marketing groups as well.
They're kind of funny-looking creatures, aren't they?
they are, but they sure taste good.
They sure do.
Yeah, you can bet on that. We were talking recipes in the break, listeners, and there are lots of recipes for how to cook your wild American shrimp, I'm sure, on the website too, Eddie?
Yes, there are. Plenty of recipes, and if people want to email us, they can get on, and we'll put them on our consumer, so they'll get a consumer report from us almost every week or so, and additional recipes. And we like to keep them up to date, just like we just did the nutritional testing, where we've got 30% more vitamin B, we've got higher levels of omega-3, a lot of those things that consumers like to stay up on.
So buy American shrimp, listeners. American shrimp. Eddie, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day, and it's time to take a break.
Yes. Bye-bye,
Eddie.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Time to take a break.
Hi, friends. I'm Phil Marcus, the host of Real Estate 101, heard every Saturday here on The Edge, AM 1550. If you've been thinking about selling your house or buying a house, I'd like to speak with you. Choosing the right agent is one of the first and most important steps in the process of buying or selling real estate. It's critical that you choose an agent who has the knowledge and experience to not only find that perfect new home for you, but to also be able to guide you step by step through the often complicated real estate process. If you don't already have a realtor, may I offer my services? I've been a real estate agent in Pittsburgh for almost 30 years. I'm a life member of the Realtors Association, and I'm proud to say that I've earned both the GRI and the coveted CRS professional designations. Won't you call me at RE/MAX Heritage? The phone number is 412-241-4200, extension 154, or my email address is phil@philmarcus.com. That's 412-241-4200, extension 154, or phil@philmarcus.com. Let's talk.
Furnace working okay? How's your heating bills? You know, no kidding, an old or inefficient furnace can really add to the cost of keeping your home warm. If you want to keep costs down, get your furnace looked at, and I recommend Bolster to Heart Heating and Air Conditioning for that. The technicians at Bolster to Heart have been performing routine maintenance and installing high-efficiency heating and air conditioning systems in Pittsburgh since 1977. They're EPA-certified professionals who are continually factory-trained in all the latest installation and service techniques. They offer free estimates and don't even charge extra for Saturday service. They're a quality dealer you can trust. Stay warm this winter at the lowest possible cost. Call Bolster to Heart Heating and Air Conditioning at 412-367-3900. Maintenance or installation, Bolster to Heart Heating and Air Conditioning, 412-367-3900.
It all happened so fast. It was loud and scary, and I was trapped.
Katie is a kindergarten teacher in Pennsylvania. She was a passenger in a car struck head-on by a reckless driver.
That's when I met my guardian angel. His name is Sean, and he's a paramedic. Sean was there for me when I needed him. He knew just what to do, and he knew the right things to say.
Choose a career in emergency medical services. Call toll-free 877-PA-MEDIC. That's 877-PA-MEDIC.
Pennsylvania needs more guardian angels. I had mine, and he made all the difference.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
To match your pretty eyes.
Nope. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more.
Who taught you that?
Mommy.
By 6th grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Do that.
Mommy.
By 6th.
Welcome back to On the Menu. Peter is going to take us back to California. Where are we going to go first?
Yeah, I think I might have recorded this interview, which is kind of a rare thing. But it's really fun when you read about a place getting recognition that you know it deserves. So it was just a few weeks ago, I was reading the latest issue of Decanter magazine, their supplement on California, and they have a page on restaurants in California. And at top of the list of recommended restaurants, there's a restaurant called Zazu. No, they were not doing A to Z in reverse. I think they just figured it was the best kept secret in Santa Rosa in the Sonoma Valley. We think it is too, and we had the opportunity to catch up with Dusky Estes, who's one of the two owners. Here we go.
This may be the first time that On the Menu has recorded across a bar. A very elegant copper-topped bar. It's at a restaurant called Zazu, where we have been before. The owners, Dusky Estes and John Stewart, interviewed on the program about 9 months or 10 months ago. But since then, something very interesting happened. They were the front page picture in a magazine called Wine Spectator. So we had to come back and find out from Dusky, what does that mean? How has it made your life different?
It makes me very excited about what we do, because for a long time we did it just because, and we still do it because we're very passionate about supporting a diverse local agriculture. In grape country, it's very possible that diverse agriculture gets pulled up for grapes. So we are thrilled to be chefs here because everything grows in Sonoma County. We can get our chicken, our lamb, our duck, our foie gras, our yogurt, our cheese, our eggs, everything, our dairy, all of our produce can be local. And that's what we've been doing for years, putting our heads down and doing what we're passionate about. And we keep getting more and more passionate about it. In that time period, my husband started curing meat and making bacon. And I've put in a whole garden at Zazu so that we could grow our own produce. And we have our chickens now, where we get our eggs for our pasta and our gelatos. And we also have baby doll sheep for our vineyard, which allows the sheep can't reach the grapes, and so they can control competing plant life at the bottom of the grapes. So we just keep getting more and more into the lifestyle here. I'm thrilled that it seems like there might be a tide, a wave happening nationwide, and understanding that we need to support local agriculture. You need to support the small farmer, and that's the way that we're going to move away from fast food products and frozen products and into making things from scratch and appreciating your neighbor and building local economies and communities.
So you're a great believer in the gospel according to Michael Pollan. In his, well, you have to, no, you can't answer until I hand you the microphone. This is very complicated. I mean, I don't get to talk much, but I do get to pass the microphone, so let me do that.
Yes, we love Michael Pollan's words and book, and have had the pleasure of meeting him, and very much believe in this tide or wave that people are starting to appreciate, that they really need to use their economic power in order to support a different kind of United States, I think.
And you're not inventing new things. You told us just a moment ago that you have a vineyard, which we didn't know about, and somewhere in the future is a distillate called Grappa. Tell us a little bit about that.
So we have a dear friend, Guy Davis of Davis Family Vineyards, who has started making apple brandy from a bunch of the heirloom apples that are in Sonoma County. So he makes an apple brandy that's called Appalachian, and we have been talking to him. Actually, I should clarify that. My father, who is a scientist, recently retired, loves grappa. And so he decided that in his retirement, he wanted to make grappa with Guy Davis. So this coming year, the two of them are going to get together and make us grappa. We've been making wine for 2 years with a gentleman named John Holdridge. And we have this unusual grape varietal that is the only Schiappettino outside of Italy, we believe, and it's only featured on the menu at Zazu and at the French Laundry. We have this funny grape varietal Schiappettino, and this year we're going to make grappa out of it with Guy Davis. So we're excited. We're very excited about the new project.
I can hardly wait. Now, Miss N is sitting next to me, and she can't stand that I've been doing this interview. I know she wants to say something.
No, I just want to say, don't let the microphone pop.
Okay, then we will make sure we don't have any microphone pops. This is Zazu Restaurant and Bovala Restaurant. Dusky, give us the websites again, just so that listeners can have them.
So the websites are www.bovalorestaurant.com and www.zazurestaurant.com. Thank you.
Oh, We had so much fun. I mean, just that you should cook something and bring it out and put it on the bar. And we had our wine. It was
and,
really fun.
There's an interesting link to the next track. Because we took a gift with us.
Oh, that's right.
A bottle of an excellent Pinot Noir from a new source in California under the control of Landmark Wines. And we had visited Landmark just either the day before or the day before that. So we caught up with Bruce, who is the sales director for Landmark Wine. Mary Colquhoun, who's one of the owners of the vineyard, has been on the program before several years ago. And we kept in touch. This was the first time we had the opportunity to visit. It was a charming visit. We drank some wonderful wine, and then we caught up with the sales director, and we talked to him, and here he is.
A little more than 3 years ago, I met Mary Colquhoun, one of the family which owns the Landmark Vineyard here in California, at Wine Festival, and I promised to come out and visit. And I've driven by several times in the years in between, but never made a visit until today, when we caught up with Bruce Mackay, the Director of Sales and Marketing for Landmark, and I discovered here that at this wonderful home vineyard, something new and exciting is going on. Tell us about it.
Well, as you know, that Landmark has been renowned for its Chardonnays, and the vineyard that we have here on the estate is just over 20 years old, and a set of circumstances over the last few years resulted in this year the removal of the Chardonnay vines. They were diseased, the dreaded phylloxera, that can affect many vineyards, affected ours. And when the vineyard was planted, 20 some odd years ago, viticultural practices at that time were that you tended to plant things that you liked.
Now you've decided that you like all new rootstock, which we saw growing vigorously. And Bruce, what's going to be grafted onto those this fall?
In the fall of this year, we will be grafting five varietals from the Southern Rhone. And they all have DNA, parentage in Chateauneuf-du-Pape. And we'll be planting Grenache, which will be the primary grape, along with Syrah, Mourvèdre, that sort of nice smoky varietal, Counoirs, and a little tiny bit of Viognier. So it really is going to be, a Côte du Rhône from Kenwood, California.
Interestingly, regular on the menu members, you'll know that we interviewed Mark from the family which owns Bocastel just a few months ago, and this is exactly this is the family from whom these vines are coming. So this is pretty exciting stuff, right?
Yeah, very much so. Our winemaker and assistant winemaker were in Chateauneuf-du-Pape last year. And they found that in that region that is very, very similar to just north of Sonoma. The climate, the soil conditions, everything is very, very similar. And hopefully our wine is not just similar, but it is also superior. So we'll see.
Now, this is more than just a vineyard. It looks almost like a large family home. But in addition to visiting and tasting, there are also lots of other things visitors can do, Bruce, that are somewhat interesting and somewhat different.
Well, we have this gorgeous landscape property. We have a 22-acre estate. Half of it is a vineyard. And the lawns and the flowers are just a joy to enjoy. So we really encourage people to come and picnic. Just come and have a good time. And many people that that visit wine country have families, they have children, or maybe there's somebody that doesn't drink wine, and they can play bocce ball, or on the weekends they can play lawn games. They can play croquet or a little badminton, and if they've got their fishing poles, they can even go and catch a catfish or a bass out of our irrigation pond. And but you have to put it back in; you can't take it home for supper. So
and it's also for visitors to stay on the property. Tell us a little bit about those facilities and then also how people find out more about Landmark on the internet.
We have two properties that we make available to guests. One is what we call the guest suite and accommodates two people and is often used for when we do weddings. It's a bridal sort of preparation area. And the cottage that we have was featured in a magazine in May. It was on the front cover. And as a result, both of the rooms that we have, or both suites, are occupied until for the next several months. I'm sorry, what was the other question?
I don't remember. It must have been a silly question. No, it wasn't a silly question. It's called how can people find out more? So it's www something.
It is landmarkwine.com. That's how you'll find us.
Well, but you did make the microphone pop. You always.
We were. The California trip was one of some technical challenges.
It was,
you will recall, because
yes.
we were breaking in a new
computer.
Portable radio station, and it's settling down a little bit now, thank goodness.
Well, and there comes the music.
And maybe next week's interviews won't be so poppy. You can never tell.
All right.
Find out by joining us same time, same place.
Bye-bye.
Jazzin' Around with David J. is next on The Edge, AM 1550.